Welcome to Off Topic, but On Point. I'm Adet Beer, and here we embrace the unscripted, the unconventional, and dare I say it, the unexpected. Because sometimes the best breakthroughs happen when you go off topic. Each episode, we dive into business, leadership, and life, exploring the moments that challenge us, shape us, and push us forward. So whether we're tackling entrepreneurship, collaboration, mindset, or even navigating resistance, one thing's for sure, we'll always bring it back to what matters. So get ready for candid perspectives, thoughtful insights that will keep you engaged, inspired, and maybe a little bit uncomfortable in the best possible way. As usual, I have with me my beautiful friends, Dr. Yanine de Cabo, also known as the Intentionalist, and Pastor Christo Pretorius, the Expander. Let's go.
Thank you so much for joining us. I am really happy to have you both here. And if you're wondering why there's that like hesitation in my voice and maybe in my tone of voice, it's because I am not in control today. Dr. J is in control.
I am.
The unscripted, unexpected, 100% true. We don't know what's coming. So Dr. J, over to you.
Well, the thing is, when I was just thinking about today and thinking about our conversations, I was thinking about growth, because that's something that we all are busy with on a daily basis. You know, part of what we do is growth. Either we're growing a person, we're growing ourselves, or we are growing companies, maybe even sales, but we are all involved in growth in some way or another. So I wanted to find out and ask the question is, what is your favorite growth analogy that you use with your clients?
Well, good day, everybody. Thank you for having me today. Looking forward to some interesting conversations. Growth analogy. I think for me, it really comes down to like past experiences. So I always use examples from where I used to be, where I am, and where I'm going. So I do a lot of reflection on things that I've done. And if I just look at growth, you know, there's really two aspects of growth. There's the organic or natural growth. You know, I'm 40 odd years old. I'm no longer, you know, wearing toddler clothes. I just grew naturally. I just grew organically. Then also there's a second aspect where you grow with intention. You grow with purpose, where you decide there are certain areas and certain aspects that I want to grow in. And so, yeah, there's nothing I can really do about my length. That is something that just grows naturally, but I can work on other aspects. And so my growth analogy is really to look at, you know, the things that has taken place within my life and that has contributed towards my growth, whether it's be things I'm doing physically, whether it's things I'm doing for mindset, whether it's things I'm doing to grow my intellect and my understanding of topics, whether it's things within business, within faith. I normally look at that from a reflective perspective. I hope it answers the question.
And I think you forgot about expand, because if I think about you, I think about expand. Like that's for me is the thing when I think about you, it's like, I'm going to expand, whether it's personally, whether it's physically, whether it's mentally, whether it's in my skills. I think
if you put it that way,
if
you put it that way, yes, definitely. Thank you for helping me out here. It's still early mornings. So yeah, expand is just simply to grow in size,
yeah,
extend your influence, and then develop a plan to execute. You know, so that's like the process. That a little bit more defined. Thank you very much for helping me with my very own mission statement. You see, sometimes that's why we need each other, you know?
It's true. It's true to remind ourselves. Absolutely. We had actually a great conversation the other day, Odette, about you as well. Is like, where do we all kind of fit in? And I was saying to Pastor C, when I look at him, I see long-term, like he can really plan vision well. And it's not like we can't, but he's really good with doing 10, 20, 30 years in the future I'm really good with finding the middle way, the strategy, how we get to do that. And then we're like, okay, so what does Odette do? And we were like, huh, she's the person that gives you the experience, like right now. She works on the right now. And the three works really well together, because basically when we speak, you have to listen in that way as well, because we're speaking about the now, the middle, or the interim, as well as the future, which is the vision part. So yeah, possibly you really help us to expand.
Thank you very much for reminding me.
I think that's a very good way to position three. I want to say personalities, but it's more than personality, because when I think about growth and when I talk about growth to my clients, I always talk about growth in the context of comfort zones and in the context of the expansion of the universe. The universe is, not will be, not has, but is constantly expanding. Every day there is a new galaxy. Every day there is a new, and we are in this earth, part of this universe, part of this whole creation. And as it is, so are we. So when God created the universe, he sets in motion things to constantly grow, constantly expand. And then as humans, we fool ourselves in thinking that we can be different. We think that beautiful experience you had when you were in your mother's womb, when everything was comfortable, we think that's what life should be. But that's not, that was just the initial, this is where we need to keep you safe so that you can grow and expand with the universe. Because if you think about the universe constantly expand, expansion creates impact and a ripple effect. That's not, it doesn't impact, it will sound a future impact. It's now. Now the universe is bigger. Now there are plants growing. Now that's happening now. You may not see it, but it's happening. And I think about growth, I think about the fact that we have to choose to grow. It is a choice. And when we choose to grow, and like Pastor C said, when we're intentional about the growth, whether it's personal, financial, business, doesn't matter what it is, when we're intentional about it, then we get to choose our heart, because everything is hard, versus when we try and maintain comfort. Because when we try and maintain comfort, again, you're in a universe that's constantly expanding. That's when life throws things at you where you're like, oh, I thought I've dealt with this before. Wait a minute. It's familiar. It's that mountain that you were meant to overcome. Instead, you were like, oh, no, this one's not for me. I did this mountain. You try and be a taxi driver and be like, I'm going to meet you there. But you can't meet us there. You have to overcome it. You have to go through it. You have to do the thing. When you avoid doing the thing, it comes again and again and again. And that is far more uncomfortable than just saying, oh, this is hard. I realize it's hard. And I'm going to keep going, because on the other side of the heart is something really cool.
I love that analogy. And you know what I realized is that there's a difference between growth and change. Because change is constant, right? It is happening. We are part of change, but growth is a choice. Even if you think Absolutely. About what Pastor C said about your land, a plant, things are changing all the way, all the time. It might appear to you as well that you are growing, but you're not growing, you're changing. Change happens, it's constant. Growth is a choice. If you look at a plant as well, it's like if you talk about bearing fruit, it bears fruit, right? That's the growth part. Otherwise, it's just changing. It's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. It's changing. It's not growing. The growth part is the bearing fruit part of the process.
Absolutely.
Also,
it's interesting.
I see you wrote down ripple there, ripple effect.
You know, if I think about the ripple effect, and I mean something that you And that's the beauty of friends in this relationship. And, you know, maybe as we go along, people will start to realize how much we support one another, you know, willingly, unwillingly within our lives and within our journey. And it was something that, you know, you and myself are speaking about recording, you know, just expanding and, you know, leadership. And it's something that you mentioned, you know, if you look at the content that I've developed when it comes to leadership, you know, it's this ripple effect. You know, it's like that, we called it a shifter cut. It's a little stone that you would throw in the water and it would bounce, you know, multiple times, and then it creates these ripples. And you said that that's the way that you like see, you know, me and the things that I've done. And it really opened up a, you know, perspective that I've missed, realizing that, you know, every single action that we take has got an impact within the lives of other people. There's that ripple effect. For some people, it's a big change and they, you know, transform their life around it. For others, it's simply just, you know, a sharing of ideas, a sharing of a thought. You know, the Bible says iron sharpens iron. So the countenance of one, the other, you know, it might just be, you know, some sharpening that takes place. But that's the beauty of expansion. It's the beauty of leadership that I've seen, is that there's these ripple effects that takes place. And, you know, the beauty is that it starts small, but, you know, that ripple becomes bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And, you know, until it's at the end of the pond, you know, and it hits to the shore. And, you know, depending on how big the stone is that you throw in, the bigger that waves or the wake is, you know, and the more it impacts, not just on the water, but even more so on the land. And if you think about a tsunami, you know, where is the biggest impact within a tsunami? It's not, you know, where it starts. It's not even in the ocean. It's not even the waves that are so big. It is when it hits the shoreline, it makes the biggest impact. And I think in our lives, that's how, you know, influence works, is that we don't always know the impact that it's going to have within the life of other people. We might not see it. However, it shouldn't, you know, stop us from, you know, pouring into people and just keep on going. There's that principle about dealing the cards. Just keep on dealing the cards. Just keep on, you know, pushing. Just keep on beating the drum. I think it's Ita Costa that spoke about sales, that you got to beat the drum continuously, continuously, continuously. And so these ripple effects starts taking place within your life. And the more stones you throw in the water, the more you'll have these ripple effects. And so
get the impact.
Bigger the impact, absolutely.
I like that. It's also continuous impact. I love the analogies because I think people learn through examples, through stories. They can connect with that as well. And it makes me think of intentionality as the way that I've put it forth with the 10 on the inside. You know, that was obviously very intentional. But when I was going through that and I was working through the 10 points, the point of the analogy of the 10 was to make it simple for people to understand and simple for them to remember. So intentionality is 10 ways to live a rewarding and intentional life. And these are the 10 things that then goes into that. And if we can help people through stories, analogies, principle is a solid thing. It's never going to go away. If we can help them through analogies with the principle, then they will be able to apply it to their life, add it to their habits. I really enjoyed the book Atomic Habits, where he speaks about habit stacking. Because I think what happens a lot of the times is that we think I need to form a new habit. Like really another habit. How? Where am I going to put this in? And where he speaks about habit stacking, it's almost like taking what you've already got, the foundation that you've built, and putting something on top of that, improving it, making it better, making it greater. So many years ago, I listened to a podcast of Greg Rochelle. And when I listened to the book, that was the first example that came to mind where he spoke about, and honestly, it was a long time ago. I'm going to give you the analogy or the principle behind it because I can't remember the exact things. But the point was he wanted to start to exercise, to gym. And the point of the matter is, and like I said, I can't remember exactly how he did it. The point was he went to gym every day, for example, 15 minutes, just 10 minutes, kind of just walked in, swiped his card. If you think about South Africa, swiped his card and walked out. Just every day went to do that. Then he went there every day for 10, 15 minutes. And so it increased. And what he was actually doing was habit stacking. He was creating the habit and then building on top of that habit. And it ended up him going to gym 7 days a week at hours at a time. And that was his choice, obviously. But that is how he stacked it and how he built the habits. And I think the point of analogies is to help us to connect our experiences with an example and with a story so we can relate and apply it to our own lives at the end of the day.
I agree. And I'd like to just backtrack, if I may. It's interesting that you mentioned fruit. Because fruit is actually a very interesting subject. If you think about fruit, we often think, so I've been sitting on fruit for a while. Why? Because in Psalms 1, verse 3 in the Passion Translation, it says, she will be standing firm like a tree planted by God's design, deeply rooted by the brooks of bliss, bearing fruit in every season of life. She is never dry, never fainting, ever blessed, ever prosperous. No matter what she sets signs to, she brings it to a successful conclusion. And that's kind of where my fruit story starts. Because fruit implies that you must be rooted somewhere.
Yeah.
So where are you rooted? Therefore, growth requires roots somewhere in some firm foundations, principles. Dr. J, you said it. Those are the things that never change. Deeply rooted means not a root. It's the pin portal, and I don't know what that is in English, but it's that root that goes all the way down, and it goes down for like...
It's not a pin carrot.
When you try and pull it, it just doesn't die. It hangs there. It's not a pin carrot. No. Good try. So deeply rooted. And I think deeply rooted is what produces the fruit. The fruit is not for you. The fruit that is around
the fruit
you.
Is for others.
And let's consider for a moment that we are not in a world where we quickly modify what God has created. The original intent was to bear seed. The original intent of seed is to produce more and to produce more fruit. And we have, as human, genetically modified grapes, for example, to remove the seed. That fruit is impotent and cannot reproduce. It therefore defied its original design. So when it comes fruit, it's not you. And within your fruit, you said it, your fruit impact on other people you don't necessarily know. And whatever those fruits are, carries a seed germinates in that person, and it will either produce after its own kind, or it will be impotent. So the question is, what fruits are you bearing, and what seeds are locked up in those fruits will either grow and reproduce or grow, be consumed, and die. Fruit also is defined as a mature ovary of a flowering plant that contains seed. There's a birthplace that happens in fruit. And again, it's the birthing, and that's beautiful actually for us to see, because leadership is about something in someone else. I read somewhere, and I can't remember the exact scripture, but I read somewhere that either points to or insinuates that everyone has been called as a leader. Every single human being on earth is called as a leader. Everyone. Why are we not? Because we listen to lies, because we listen to the noise, because all the stuff that's going on, and you surround yourself with. So when you surround yourself with fruitful people who produce seed in their fruit, you reproduce fruit. And your reproduction of fruit then requires you to reproduce into someone else and ignite that in them. Those are my thoughts on fruit.
And Odette, I believe that reason we are all leaders is for the fact that Jesus was and still is the best leader that I know. And if we are made in his image, then we will also be leaders. So
that's right.
Yes, we are not born leaders. We are all born and therefore develop into leaders because of the character and likeness of God. Pastor C, I don't know if you went with this train of thought while Odette was talking, but
I can jump on the fruit wagon,
Yes, exactly. I was just thinking about an avo tree as an example.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not going to go with avo. I'm not going to go with apple. I'll go with pepperdews because that's what I'm growing currently. Just before I jump on the fruit wagon, you know, when you were speaking, Odette, it's so powerful that, you know, fruit is not for us. It's for the other people. And your people might say, "Duh, we know that." Exactly. I was just thinking as you were speaking, like if I look at a tree that's got fruit, and like I've got this pepperdew tree now, is the fruit starts out as a flower, and then it starts to grow. It's green in the beginning. It turns a little bit orange, and then it turns bright red. But after the bright red, if you don't pluck it and eat it or use it, it gets rotten. And I was just thinking as she was speaking about that off fruit to other people. But if we don't allow people to eat from the fruit of our life, that fruit becomes rotten within our own life because it's not for us. The tree doesn't use that fruit. If it doesn't, you know, get plucked and somebody eats it, they're just going to rot and it's going to waste away. And I was just thinking about, you know, how many times, you know, we might limit people from eating from the fruit, you know, of our life. So that was a great analogy that you used there. And, you know, once again, thank you for just opening that up. I just came to that realization again, the importance of allowing people to learn from us, that ripple effect, that, you know, whatever we say, whatever we do, you know, whether or not people enjoy my fruit, that's not so much up to me. You know, when you, I remember, you know, a couple
of
weeks
ago. We all have a different taste.
Yeah. So here's an interesting story. So I gave one of, I think I had three pepperdew trees. So I gave one to Dr. Yanni that she's planted in her vegetable garden. And we were there the other day and, you know, we had some of the pepperdews, but it was bright red. However, it didn't had any burn at all. It was just like, almost like a pepperdew. And so I thought, interesting, maybe, you know, something went wrong when I planted it. And so mine was started to grow. And Christy, my son, he grabbed it. And I didn't think anything of that. You know, it doesn't. But... And he's eating. I mean, the juice was running, you know, over his chin, over his chest, or down his throat, onto his chest. And the next moment, he starts to cry. And I realized, and then I took a bite. And I'm like, whoa, this thing is quite hot. And as Shami had like all these red foot marks that didn't last too long. However, I apologize if my fruit is not, you know, according to your taste, it's just the fruit of my life. Mm-hmm. And so I'll eat that it doesn't taste bitter. But if you don't like avo, if you don't like pepperdew, if you don't like apples, you know, we all have different fruit. But what's interesting about fruit, I'm thinking about, as you were speaking, Odette, in Mark 11, the Bible speaks about, you know, where Jesus curses the fig tree. Mm. And the Bible says that Jesus was walking with his disciples and he was hungry and he saw a fig tree and he went there and there was no figs. And then Jesus says, he doesn't really curse the fig tree. He doesn't use those words. He says that no one will eat from your fruit ever again. No one will eat from your fruit ever again. The next day, as they walked past that same tree, the disciple says, "Look, Jesus, the fig tree has withered away." As a matter of fact, they say, "Look, Jesus, the fig tree that you have cursed has withered away." So the disciples brings the word curse. Jesus just said, "No one will eat from your fruit again." And what's so powerful for me from that scripture is, if this is the way I see it, is the purpose of a fig tree is not to give shade. The purpose of a fig tree is to produce fruit. The very reason that Jesus said, "I remove the purpose from your life." That's the reason that tree died. He wasn't so much cursed, like you'll die. it just removed the purpose. And when the purpose was removed, there was no more reason for that tree to live. And that's why it died and it could withered away. And once again, in our lives, it's so important that we live within purpose. Because if we don't have a purpose, then what is the reason for our existence? That and both of you alluded to the fact that we are called to be leaders. You know, we need to be leaders. The first person to lead is yourself, and then your family, and then the people around you. And so each one of us has the capacity, we have the potential to lead. If we don't take up that responsibility, yes, it will wither away. If we don't fulfill the purpose, it will wither away. If we don't share the fruit that is upon our life, you know what's going to happen? You're going to wither away. So thank you for opening that up and allowing me to jump on the fruit wagon.
To your analogy of the peppers, how long did it take for the fruit, for the tree to grow and for it to bear fruit?
Yeah, so I've had that tree now for 4 years, and I would say this is the first year that it's fully producing. So I think the first year that I'm produced, the second year there was like one or two. Last year there was a couple. This year, as a matter of fact, I'm doing this experiment because I counted the, and it's not a big tree, it's maybe a meter high. It's not that big yet. So I've pruned it back a lot last year. There's over 100 peppers. I took the first one that I plugged, I cut it open. And interesting enough, there's over 100 seeds in that one fruit.
Wow.
And so what I'm doing now, so I harvested the seeds, I put it in a packet. I'll sow it in July when it's the time to sow it for the new season. And I want to see, out of the 100 seeds, how many trees come up. And then, you know, just a little experiment is to say from one seed, from the one tree, there was 100 fruit. From the 100 fruit, I took one that had 100 seeds. And from the 100 seeds, I mean, how many has grown? Just to give us an example of the power of what our lives and the words we speak and the impact we make, it might just be one ripple effect in one person that we don't ever meet again. But that one person impacts 100 people. And those 100 people each impact, you know, 5 or 10. It's impossible to even, you know, number the impact that our life can have. And we all want to shout like, oh, great, you know, people have been impacted by my life. The negative is also true. If we give people a, you know, a bad report, or if we speak to people, you know, in a degrading way, you know, that's also true. That impact, you know, can also go, you know, multiple times. But yeah, it takes time, Dr. Yanin, to bear fruit. I mean, I had to prune it. I had to plant it. I made sure that I planted in the right soil. Odette was speaking about, you know, the importance of being planted. So I ensure that it's planted. I ensure that there's, you know, nutrients within the grounds. Then pruning comes. A lot of people don't like pruning, but if I look at, you know, vegetables, if I look at trees, if I look at roses, the more you prune it, the bigger the bush, the bigger the roses, the more fruit. Don't prune your palm tree and, you know, just cut it off. You know, that's one that you cut the dead leaves. Certain plants, you know, you prune them differently. However, when it comes to some of the vegetable plants and things like that, you know, pruning is important.
So think about this, Pastor C.
Yeah.
Is small tree, didn't take a lot of time for it to actually bear fruit, and then it was a lot of fruit. But if we go to an avo tree as an example, it grows into a massive tree.
Yeah.
Okay? Yeah. But it takes time to bear fruit. It takes years before it actually bears. It only carries one seed in one avo. Yeah. Right? So I want to speak to people. Yeah. I want to speak to people who are saying, but I'm not seeing my fruit.
No, that's true. That's true.
And then they're like, you know what? Maybe I don't have fruit. Yes, you do. Mm. Maybe you have much larger fruit. That's going to make a much bigger impact in only certain areas or specific areas in the lives of people. But the impact will be so much bigger because the fruit is so much bigger. But it is going to take of you to sometimes be hidden for a season or for a period of time because people ain't going to see the fruit. Doesn't mean that there's no seed. It doesn't mean that you are not rooted.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that you're not going to bear fruit. It's just in due season, you're going to bear much fruit.
Yeah.
Fruit.
And it's interesting that you mentioned that, Dr. J. I had some thought on a similar line. You know that Jesus's ministry was like 3 years. He changed the world. Save millions. But for 3 years, he bore fruit that we now live off. And I think we have a misconception of what we should be doing. And where, because if you think about the fact that we spoke about it in one of our previous podcasts, like 100 years ago, you would only hear what your neighbor tells the baker when you go to the baker. That's how it would be. And now we're bombarded with information from everywhere around the world all the time. And there's just noise and info. And we think that what we see is how it should be. We are all unique. Yes, Dr. J and I are two women. We are female. There are similarities in our DNA construct. Are we the same? No. Think the same? No. Mm-hmm. Do we produce the same fruit at the same rate? No. Have we got the same experiences? Well, Pastor C and I are human beings. There's a resemblance. Does that make us the same? No. We're the same species. Sort of. But are we the same?
Sort of.
But the reality is that we walk around and we see people and we think, that's what fruitfulness looks like. Yes, maybe it is what it looks like for them.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that that's what it will look like for you.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean, I love the Colonel Sanders story, because Colonel Sanders was a broke old dude and spent his last couple of bob to go and try and sell his mom's chicken recipe. That's where KFC comes from. That, by the way, happened in his 60s. And we look at people around us and we judge by our standards or by what the media says is the right way. And we go, you're not fruitful, or you're not going to bear fruit because it's too late. But what the scripture says is that you bear fruit in every season. And what I love about that is that if you think about fruit in nature, it's easy to bear fruit in conditions. When the rain is coming, the sun is shining just the right amount of time, it's easy to be fruitful. It's a different story to bear fruit in the desert. It's a different story to bear fruit when there's a tsunami. What it says is that you will be fruitful in every season. It doesn't mean that your fruit will necessarily be visible in every season. How small is a mustard seed versus the other? It's not the same. And actually, as I say this, I that the fruit that you bear in every season isn't necessarily to be seen by everyone, nor is it to be consumed by everyone, because every fruit that you produce has a different seed, and that seed will produce something else. So when you then go and produce fruit, you're producing the mustard seed fruit that is so small, it's so insignificant, you can't see it, but it produces a tree that's huge and strong. Or you're an avo and you produce one fruit, and that one fruit produces a massive tree, but it takes 4 years. You went through the seasons. And I think that's where we also have to be careful. We are not trees. I'm not an apple. I'm not a banana. I'm not a grapevine. Therefore, the fruit that I produce in one season edifies a certain group of people. The fruit that I produce in another season will edify a different group of people because it has a different purpose. And you've said it just now. If you remove the purpose, you produce death. That's what it is. The purpose, when I think about when before my life purpose, before I had kids, was different to now that I have kids. And it will be different still when my kids leave the house, because we are on a journey. It doesn't mean that now that I've done this thing, that now I'm done, now I can talk. Okay. I'm out. I'm done. I'm all good. I'm going on gardening leave. No. it's now different. I spend a fair amount of time with people who are much older than me. And in the season of their life, they are producing different, and they are taking on different challenges, which wouldn't make sense in the season when they had kids, because that fighting on governmental spheres, and they like it just it would be hard. And if I think about it, the fruit that they've produced over time has resulted in different kids, different things, and now in this season they're producing something else.
I like what you said, Odette, is that all the fruit that we produced is not to be consumed by everyone. That's also why I believe that you can only find certain fruit and certain trees in certain climates and certain places. Hungry first thing in the morning. I'm thinking of something else is, if we say that because we're on the food trend, that business is then a three-course meal, an appetizer, main course, and dessert. Which one of these courses best represents your expertise? And how would you say that it basically contributes to your client's experience?
Odette.
That's
a very good question. I would say I'm probably
the dessert, I reckon. Because customer client experience is an entire thing. And Italians or French people have dessert first. And we have dessert last, but dessert fits in anywhere, and I can probably sneak in a sneaky dessert in between your starter and your main, and you'd be like, yeah, clean. And the experience lingers. If you've had a really good cheesecake, you're like, that was good. It lingers, and that's what the experience is. It's like, that was good.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, I'd probably go for the main course thing. If I just, I'm not a foodie. I do like to try different things. If I just think about, starter, if you go to a fine dining restaurant, probably more time goes into that. Dessert really, puts the cherry on the top. And so you gotta nail that. I think, my methodology is more about, giving substance and being the focus where everything else gets connected to. You go to the restaurant for the main course. You don't go for the starter or for the dessert. However, the starter and dessert can definitely impact your experience. Absolutely. So I think the main course just ties everything probably together. If Gordon Ramsay is watching, please don't curse me on my methodology of food and fine dining, but that's just the way I see it. So I would probably say, the main course.
Dr. Jack, where do you
put like them? I thought hard about this as well. And I think that I touch on all three for the reason that I'm really stuck in process. But I like the way that you put it, Odette, is that you can actually fit dessert in anywhere. And it goes so nice with what I normally say, is that each person's experience in business is different and they are at a different place in business. Therefore, they require a different kind of substance, or it's different kind of food or need. They have a different need at that point in time. So it's like, which one do you need right now? What is going to sustain you until the next phase? Because I think that's why what we are seeing with the three-course meal as an example, it's three phases, it's stages. So what is going to sustain you until you get to the next part? But I do think we need to have the sustenance that you say. We do need to have the little bit of sweet, and we have to get started in order to get going. So I think each one of those things are, and if I look at the two of you, I think that lies in our certain quality. We can operate and eat as well very well because we are business, but we can really whip up an amazing meal in the one that we specialize in and help somebody through that part and make it a memorable experience, Odette. Like you said, and based on what you just said now as well, it's like, it just solidifies what I was saying about each one of us. And especially what you said now about dessert, it can be in the front, it can be at the back. It is about the experience. And that's what you are so good at, is the customer experience. I was having a conversation yesterday. I was actually doing a webinar, and I realized how many people are falling back into the trap of business where they think it's about what they like and about what they think is going to look best and about what they want to put out on social media. Turning that around again to say, no, no, no. Marketing and business is a customer-centric approach where it's not really about what you like. Yes, exactly. There's certain things that you like, that you think is good for you and that you want to do. And that is the uniqueness of your business. That's your brand, right? That's your uniqueness. Mm-hmm. That's your taste. But when it comes to the meal and when we're actually doing the eating or the marketing side of it, you focus on the customer. It's not about you. It's not about what you're going to like. The shift now focuses when the chef prepares the food, he prepares it for the customer and what the customer is going to like.
That's right.
Not for his liking. I think in our house, sometimes I have to prepare food, not because I like it, because my family likes it. And it's the same in business.
And there's five different meals.
That's right. You know, it depends, like you said earlier. Yeah. It depends what people need at the time. Do you need a fast food meal, or do you need, you know, to sit down? Do you need a buffet? You know, people are at different places, different stages, you know, of life. Once again, the importance of, you know, having your ideal client, understanding the customer journey, understand where people are at. You know, I like what the Bible, you know, says where, you know, well, when we say the Bible says, I mean, this is my conclusion of what the Bible says, is to meet people where they're at. You know, if you're a leader, you know, if you're, you know, within in the church world, important that we meet people where they're at, because every person that comes into church is in a different place, a different stage of their life. And I mean, it's true for life as well in business. And so it's to meet people where they're at, understanding what we have to offer. But you realize that's not what they need right now. I mean, isn't that what most of the people will tell you when it comes to selling? Selling is not about talking. Selling is about listening and then just connecting the dots. So absolutely, I believe it's important that we meet people where they're at and then we give them what they need.
Even if it's dessert.
I remember my brother, he was speaking about dessert going, you know, at any time of the meal. We went to a buffet and he started with a starter, but also he had a bowl of chocolate mousse with his starter. And then he went and he got mains, and he had his main, and he had a bowl of chocolate mousse. Then he had dessert, like he got some cake and stuff, but he got another bowl. He just likes chocolate mousse. And he showed me that I could have chocolate mousse throughout my journey, you know, and it looks weird. It looks weird. But you know what?
It's what you need.
He enjoyed his experience. He enjoyed his experience, and it's what he needs exactly. And we sometimes get caught up, you know, with the little things that we lose focus of. Okay, but what is the reason the person came, and what did they came for? And if they simply came to inquire and leave, then it's great. You know, if they came for something, then we give them what they came for.
I think it comes down to strategy as well, because by changing up the way we eat or the course of doing it, for some of us, it's actually the strategy that we are using. It's our uniqueness. It's what sets us apart. My mom is the same. Is that when we went to a restaurant, I remember when we were young, it was such a treat to go and eat at the Holiday Inn and have their brunch and like all the foods that you can choose from, the whole buffet. And we normally went there for breakfast on special occasions. And even then she would start with dessert. And I'd be like, that's not the best example, Mom, you know? That's not the best example, but it was. It's always been a strategy, and it makes her unique, and it makes her the person she is today. Yeah. And the same in business. As you might not start the same way that other people are starting. You might not even do the same things in the middle or at the end, but that is who you are as a business person. That is your strategy, and that makes you a success, and it makes you unique. It would be so boring if all of us did it exactly the same way to get exactly the same result. There'd be no uniqueness.
Not at all.
I think also...
a choice.
Absolutely. It would be very boring. I think if you... No. And we also wouldn't be having this conversation because we'd all have to say the same thing. Yuck. I think if we, from a business perspective, think of a four quadrant and sort of the same to being the starting point. If you keep it simple enough, from the starting point, you can go anywhere. So to your point, Posse, meeting them where they're at, the starting point is always the same. I don't sell bananas, I sell apples. The way in which you get your apples is apple pie, apple strudel, candied apple, fresh cut apple. I don't know what else to do with apples, but whatever you can think of to do with apple, which will result in something that you do in one of those four quadrants. The starting point is the same, but it addresses what the person needs at the time and will ultimately, when done, what your competitors. Competitive analysis is strategy 101. Not so that you can copy them, but just so that you can understand the experiences these your clients are having with them. You don't want to be like them. You don't want to say what they say. You don't want to do what they do. And you definitely don't want to operate the way in which they operate, because then you're not unique and then you fade away. But if you meet them where they're at, and there's another kicker, there can still be standardization. Just because I meet you where you're at does not mean that every single thing I've tailored, it just means the toolbox. And I pull from my toolbox what you need at the time. Because if you need a small hammer, I'm not going to go out and fetch my power hammer. But if you need a screwdriver and it's just a fix, then I don't need to go and get the electric thing and can guide them. You can say, well, if we've now done this thing, the logical next thing would be this, all that. And all of that requires you to know them, to deeply care about them and how you could meet their need. Because without them, you don't exist.
That's true. Was there a point in each one of your businesses where you had to completely rethink your strategy? Because I think sometimes we think things are going to taste nice, and then when you taste it, you realize that I had a total misperception about this. And if we think about strategy in business, was there a point in your business that you were like, I have to completely change my strategy? I had a total misperception.
Definitely. No, things didn't hit the way I thought it was going to hit. And I look at things two ways. I look at, you know, what does the audience say? You know, what is their response versus, you know, what do I carry and what do I want to produce? And, you know, it's important not to just get swayed away by, you know, what the people want. And then you're giving them something not of substance because you don't even believe in this, but it's what the people want. I do believe there's a good balance that we need to have there. But I've seen the, you know, or maybe the way that I've, you know, put out content and the way that I, you know, promoted and marketed the business and the strategy I had, you know, wasn't hitting her. And I had to adapt. Absolutely. You know, it has happened. You had to adapt. I don't think I'm there yet. You know, we're still testing, you know, certain things. I do know the moment when when that sweet spot comes, like, we're going to be all in on that, because then that's what's working at this point and this time. It's like, now I'm going to, when I'm done with this call, I need to go harvest some more pepper juice. You know, it's now time to harvest. I don't look at anything else. We're now harvesting. And so, yes, definitely, Dr. Yanin, there was times where I had to relook at the strategy and ask myself the question, is that this thing is not working. There's nothing wrong with the product. There's nothing wrong with what I'm offering. Maybe the way that I'm positioning it. Maybe there's something wrong with what I'm offering. Let me relook my offer. Absolutely. You know, that has also taken place. And I think it's a good thing. You know, I'm not saying that you should change, you know, who you are and change what you're offering, but it's good to look and see, but is this exactly what it is that you need to do at this point in time? You know, if you're a person of faith, you'll say, but this is what I heard from the Lord. Great. I don't doubt that you heard from the Lord, that you hear correctly, that you hear for the right time, for the right people. You know, there's always a little things that we can tweak and that we can adapt to. Absolutely.
I think that there are things that we embark on that is a different result to what we expected, and that's wrong. It's part of the journey. For me, I have to reconsider this 100%. I think for a while, it does not. The market is different. The people are different. The environment is different. The competitors are different.
Mm.
And suddenly, I found myself going, right. And I've had to go, well, going to continue down this road, which I can see is not working current form, or reposition things. I also had different people. It was wise counsel. You should do this. And I did. And there are things that I carry with me because I've learned from them, and things where I'm like, in hindsight, probably wasn't. It just didn't fit me. Maybe it fit the vision of me. It made sense in their minds, but it doesn't actually work. The shirt doesn't fit. I need a different shirt. So I've had to go through the process of changing everything. I've changed my marketing. I've changed my slogans. I've changed my focus. I've changed my product. I've changed the different spaces that I'm in. I've taken on things. I've put stuff down that I've realized maybe isn't necessary or just doesn't work right now. And at the end of last year, there's a lot of stuff that I built up over the 4 years that I could go back to at the end of last year. But I created this when I started here. When I just got here, it's not wasted. It wasn't the right time for that.
Really?
Now is the right
time. Never
wasted. Now I can pull it in. So I've had to do that. The same is true for this podcast. This podcast started out as the summit, and we believe in the summit. Otherwise, we wouldn't be doing this. But the format is different because it impacts differently. And point apostasy, did you hear from God? Yes. Is that the right thing at that time? Yes. Is that still the right thing? Probably not. We have to reset. I love that if you listen to a very switched on, focused, spirit-filled pastor of any description, they will always tell you that you need to listen to what the Lord is saying now, not what he had said. So is he still saying that thing now? Same is true for your business. Does that still work now? No. Then you adjust. Sometimes it means throwing everything out and starting again. Sometimes it's a tweak. And I agree with you, Pastor, there's nothing wrong with it. I think there's something beautiful that comes out of that. And there's a lot of learning if you allow yourself to learn from it. That you can.
One key principle that a business owner can focus on for the next 90 days. And why? That's so true. I've got one last question for you guys, and then Odette, you can wrap it up. If you can leave.
I would probably say do it. So whatever is a challenge within your business right now, do it. Get involved. Go for it. The reason I would say that is, you know, you've got the authority and the responsibility to bring that thing to fruition. And so lead from the front. The giftings that you have and the wisdom that you carry is 100% in line with solving that problem. And so I would say, just you do it, just go for it.
Vijay, what's yours?
I think what I would give people is intentionality and building with grit, you know, and grit for me forms part of the intentionality. Is for the next 90 days, build with grit. Go for growth. Have the resilience, because don't be fooled. It's not always going to be easy. So you have to have resilience in business. You have to be intentional about what you want to achieve and where you're going to be going. And within the next 90 days, you will see the transformation. You will see the transformation. As we said right in the beginning, is change is constant and change is happening, but growth is a choice. So you need to make sure that you choose growth in order to have that transformation in your business, but also yourself within the next 90 days.
I think if I had to leave the listeners with one thing, it would be to produce the fruit, and your roots has to come from your purpose. Whatever it is, I've been given that purpose for a reason. And like Pastor C said, you've got the responsibility to bring it to flourishing. And if we go back to Psalm 1 verse 3, that you would bring it to successful conclusion if you are rooted. If there's one thing that you have to double down on, it's purpose. Assess your decisions against purpose. Am I living my purpose? Is this fulfilling the purpose? Is the thing I'm doing getting me closer to my purpose or away from my purpose? If you do that for the next 90 days, you'll get a more focused business, a more focused you, and that will mean that you are more intentional and you are as intentional as you can be. The more productive you will be, the bigger the impact you can be. So on that note, we went deep, we went off track while talking about fruit. We are talking about starters, desserts, and main. But we always bring it back to what matters for today's conversation. I hope that it sparked something in you. And if it does, please drop a this. Make sure that you are subscribed so that you don't miss an episode. Follow along on social media for more insights and behind the scene moments. And we have a topic coming up next week, but the following week, Dr. J, I don't know what it is. If there is a specific topic that you'd like us to talk about, that you'd like to pick our brains on, please send us your questions, send us the topics you'd like us to unpack to odette@amplifycoach.biz. We'd love to hear from you and we'd love to talk about those topics. So thanks for tuning in. Keep thinking big, keep showing up, and remember, sometimes the best insights happen when you go off topic. See you next time.